Chapter 7. Do you value life as God does? With you is the source of life. Psalm 36:9. Paragraphs 1 and 2. Question. What precious gift did Jehovah give us? Jehovah has given every one of us a wonderful gift. It is the gift of life. He wants us to have the best life possible. So he has provided principles that teach us how we can make good decisions. We should use these principles to help us to distinguish between right and wrong. Hebrews 5:14. When we do so, we are allowing Jehovah to train us to think clearly. As we live by God's principles and see how they make our life better, we come to understand just how precious they truly are. Life can be very complicated. Situations often come up that are not covered by a direct law in the Bible. For example, we may need to make decisions about medical treatments that involve the use of blood. How can we make decisions that will please Jehovah? The Bible contains principles that teach us how Jehovah views life and blood. If we understand these principles, we will be able to make wise decisions and keep a good conscience. Now, let's examine some of those principles. How does God view life and blood? Paragraphs 3 and 4, Question A. How did God reveal His view of blood? Question B. What does blood represent? The Bible teaches us that blood is sacred because it represents life. And life is precious to Jehovah. After Cain murdered his brother, Jehovah told him, "Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." Genesis 4:10. Abel's blood represented his life. When Cain killed Abel, he took his life away. After the flood of Noah's day, God told humans that they could eat meat. But he specifically said, "Flesh with its life, its blood, you must not eat." Genesis 9:4. This command applies to all of Noah's descendants, including us. Plainly, to Jehovah, blood represents life. And we need to view blood the same way. Paragraphs 5 and 6, question. How did the law of Moses show how Jehovah views life and blood? In the law Jehovah gave to Moses, he stated, "If any man eats any sort of blood, I will certainly set my face against the one who is eating the blood, and I will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Leviticus 17:10 and 11. The law of Moses said that when someone killed an animal for food, he had to pour its blood onto the ground. This showed that the animal's life was given back to its creator, Jehovah. But Jehovah did not expect the Israelites to go to extremes when they bled an animal. As long as they did all they reasonably could to remove the blood, they could eat the meat with a clean conscience. By showing respect for the animal's blood, they showed that they respected the giver of life, Jehovah. The law also commanded the Israelites to offer animals as sacrifices to cover sins.
And note 19. Atonement. Under the law of Moses, the nation of Israel asked Jehovah to forgive their sins. They brought atonement sacrifices of grain, oil, and animals to the temple. In this way, the Israelites were reminded that Jehovah was willing to forgive their sins, both as a nation and as individuals. Later, after Jesus gave his life to cover our sins, these atonement sacrifices were no longer necessary. Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice once for all time. Hebrews 10:1-10. End of endnote. And note 20. Respect for animals. Under the law of Moses, people were allowed to use animals for food. They were also commanded to present animal sacrifices, but Jehovah never permitted his people to be cruel to animals. In fact, The law contained rules that protected animals from cruelty. The Israelites were commanded to look after their animals properly. End of endnote.
Paragraph 7. Question. How did David show respect for blood? We can see the value of blood from something that David did when he was fighting the Philistines. David's men saw that he was very thirsty, so they went into dangerous enemy territory and risked their lives to get him water. But when they brought it to David, he refused to drink it and poured it out to Jehovah. David said, "It is unthinkable on my part, O Jehovah, that I should do this. Should I drink the blood of the men going at the risk of their lives?" David understood how precious life and blood are to God. 2 Samuel 23:15-17. Paragraphs 8 and 9. Question. How should Christians today view blood? By the time of the early Christians, God's people no longer had to offer animal sacrifices, but they still needed to have the correct view of blood. Abstaining from blood was one of the few parts of the law that Jehovah required Christians to keep. This was as important as avoiding immorality or idolatry. Acts 15:28-29. It is similar today. As Christians, we know that Jehovah is the source of life and that all life belongs to Him. We also realize that blood is sacred and represents life. So we make sure to consider Bible principles when we make any decisions about medical treatment involving the use of blood. The medical use of blood. Paragraphs 10 and 11. Question A. How do Jehovah's Witnesses view the transfusion of either whole blood or the four main parts of blood? Question B. What personal decisions does each Christian need to make? Jehovah's Witnesses understand that abstaining from blood involves more than not eating or drinking it. It means not accepting blood transfusions, not donating blood, and not storing our own blood for transfusion. It also means not accepting transfusions of any of the four main parts of blood: red cells, white cells, platelets, and plasma. These four main parts of blood may be broken down into smaller parts called blood fractions. Each Christian must decide whether or not he will accept blood fractions. The same applies to medical procedures that make use of a patient's own blood. Each one must decide how his own blood will be handled in the course of a surgical procedure, medical test, or current therapy.
End note 21. Blood fractions and medical procedures. Blood fractions. Blood is made up of four main parts: red cells, white cells, platelets, and plasma. These four main parts of blood may be broken down into smaller parts, called blood fractions. The footnote reads, "Some doctors may view the four main parts of blood as fractions. Therefore, you may need to explain your personal decision not to accept transfusions of whole blood or its four main parts, namely red cells, white cells, platelets, and plasma." End of footnote. Christians refuse transfusions of whole blood or of any of its four main parts. But should they accept blood fractions? The Bible does not provide specific details. So each Christian must make his own decision based on his Bible-trained conscience. Some Christians choose to refuse all blood fractions. They may reason that God's law to Israel required that any blood removed from an animal be poured out on the ground. Deuteronomy 12:22-24. Others make a different choice. Their conscience allows them to accept some blood fractions. They may reason that small fractions no longer represent the life of the creature from which the blood was taken. When making decisions about blood fractions, consider the following questions. Am I aware that refusing all blood fractions means that I will not accept some medicines that fight diseases or that might help stop bleeding? How would I explain to a doctor why I reject or accept the use of one or more blood fractions? Medical procedures. As Christians, we do not donate blood, nor do we store our own blood weeks in advance of surgery. However, there are other procedures that make use of a patient's own blood. Each Christian must decide for himself how his own blood will be handled in the course of a surgical procedure, medical test, or current therapy. During the course of such procedures, the patient's own blood may be completely separated for a time from the patient. For more information, see The Watchtower, October 15, 2000, pages 30 and 31. For example, there is a procedure called hemodilution, in which immediately before surgery, a portion of a patient's own blood is removed and replaced with a volume expander. Later, during or shortly after the surgery, the blood is returned to the patient. Another procedure is called cell salvage. In this procedure, a patient's own blood that is lost during surgery is collected, cleaned, and then returned to the patient during or shortly after the surgery. Each doctor may perform these procedures slightly differently. So before accepting any surgical procedure, medical test, or current therapy, a Christian needs to find out exactly how his own blood will be handled. When making decisions about medical procedures that make use of your own blood, consider the following questions. If some of my blood will be diverted outside my body, and the flow might even be interrupted for a time, will my conscience allow me to view this blood as still part of me, thus not requiring that it be poured out on the ground? Deuteronomy 12, 23 and 24. Will my Bible-trained conscience be troubled if, during a medical procedure, some of my own blood is withdrawn, modified, and directed back into or onto my body? Am I aware that refusing all medical procedures involving the use of my own blood means that I would not accept a blood test, hemodialysis, or the use of a heart-lung bypass machine? Before making decisions about blood fractions and medical treatments that make use of our own blood, we need to pray for Jehovah's guidance and then do research. After that, we must use our Bible-trained conscience to make our decision. We should not ask others what they would do if they were in our situation, nor should others try to influence our decision. The following is supplementary information. Unacceptable. Whole blood. Red cells. White cells. Platelets. Plasma. Christian to decide. Fractions from red cells. Fractions from white cells. Fractions from platelets. Fractions from plasma. An appropriate legal document, such as a healthcare proxy, may be used to record your decision to refuse transfusions of whole blood and its four main parts. This document may protect you from receiving a blood transfusion. It may also be used to record your decisions about blood fractions and procedures that make use of your own blood. End of endnote.
Paragraph 12. Question A. Why are our decisions in matters of conscience important to Jehovah? Question B. How can we make wise decisions regarding medical procedures? Does Jehovah really care about our decisions in matters of conscience? Yes, he does. Jehovah is interested in our thoughts and motives. Proverbs 17:3 reads, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but Jehovah is the examiner of hearts." Proverbs 24:12 reads, "If you say, 'But we did not know about this,' does not the one who examines hearts discern it? Yes, the one who watches you will know and will repay each man according to his activity." Since that is the case, when we are making a decision involving medical treatment, we need to pray for Jehovah's guidance and then research the treatment. After that, we use our Bible-trained conscience to make our decision. We should not ask others what they would do if they were in our situation, nor should others try to influence our decision. Each Christian will carry his own load. Galatians 6:5. Jehovah's laws reveal His love for us. Paragraph 13. Question. What do we learn about Jehovah from His laws and principles about blood? Anything Jehovah asks us to do is for our own good and shows His love for us. But we do not obey Him just because His commands benefit us. We obey Him because we love Him. Our love for Jehovah moves us to avoid blood transfusions. This also protects our health. Most people today know about some of the risks of blood transfusions, and many doctors believe that operating without blood is better for their patients' health. It is clear that Jehovah's ways are wise and loving. Isaiah 55:9 reads, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Paragraphs 14 and 15. Question A. What laws did Jehovah give His people to protect them? Question B. How can you apply the principles behind those laws? God's laws have always been for the good of His people. Jehovah gave the ancient Israelites laws to protect them from serious accidents. For example, one law said that a homeowner should build a low wall around his flat roof so that no one would fall off. Another law had to do with animals. If someone owned a violent bull, he was responsible for keeping it under control so that it would not attack or kill anyone. If an Israelite did not obey these laws, it was his fault if someone died as a result. From these laws, we can see that life is precious to Jehovah. How should knowing this affect us? We should show that we respect life by the way we care for our home and vehicle, the way we drive, and the way we choose our recreation. Some people, especially young people, feel that nothing bad can happen to them, so they take risks and ignore potential dangers. But that is not how Jehovah wants us to behave. He wants us to treat all life as important, both our own life and the lives of others. Paragraph 16. Question. How does Jehovah view abortion? Every human life is important to Jehovah. Even an unborn baby is precious to Him. Under the law of Moses, if a person accidentally hurt a pregnant woman, and either she or her baby died, Jehovah held that person guilty of manslaughter. This meant that even though it was an accident, someone had been killed, and the life had to be compensated for. Exodus 21:22 and 23 reads, "If men should struggle with each other, and they hurt a pregnant woman, and she gives birth prematurely, but no fatality results, the offender must pay the damages imposed on him by the husband of the woman, and he must pay it through the judges. But if a fatality does occur, then you must give life for life." To God, an unborn baby is a living person. Knowing that, how do you think He feels about abortion? How do you think He feels when He sees millions of unborn babies killed every year? Paragraph 17. Question. What can comfort a woman who had an abortion before knowing Jehovah? What if a woman had an abortion before she learned how Jehovah views it? She can be sure that Jehovah can forgive her on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice. A woman who made such a mistake in the past does not need to keep feeling guilty if she is sincerely sorry. Jehovah is merciful and compassionate. As far off as the sunrise is from the sunset, so far off from us He has put our transgressions. Psalm 103:8-14. Avoid hateful thoughts. Paragraph 18. Question. Why should we do all we can to get rid of hateful thoughts? Respect for God's gift of life begins deep in our heart. It involves how we feel about others. "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer," wrote the Apostle John, 1 John 3:15. Before we realize it, dislike of another person can grow into hatred. Hatred can cause someone to disrespect others, make false accusations about them, or even wish that they were dead. Jehovah knows how we feel about other people. If we find that we have hateful thoughts about someone, we need to work hard to get rid of these thoughts. Paragraph 19. Question. How should Jehovah's view of violence affect us? There's another way we can show that we value life. At Psalm 11:5, we learn that Jehovah hates anyone who loves violence. If we choose violent entertainment, we might be showing that we love violence. Why would we want to put violent words, ideas, and pictures into our mind? Instead, we want to fill our mind with clean and peaceful thoughts. Philippians 4:8 and 9 reads, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are of serious concern, whatever things are righteous, whatever things are chaste, whatever things are lovable, whatever things are well spoken of, whatever things are virtuous, and whatever things are praiseworthy, continue considering these things. The things that you learned as well as accepted and heard and saw in connection with me, practice these, and the God of peace will be with you. Be no part of organizations that do not respect life." Paragraphs 20 to 22, question A. How does Jehovah view Satan's world? Question B. How can God's people show that they are no part of the world? Satan's world does not respect life, and Jehovah views it as blood guilty, that is, guilty of murder. Over the centuries, political powers have caused millions of people to die, including many of Jehovah's servants. In the Bible, these powers or governments are described as fierce and violent beasts. In today's world, the sale of weapons is big business. People make huge profits selling such deadly weapons. Clearly, the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. But true Christians are no part of the world. Jehovah's people are neutral in politics and in war. Just as they do not kill, they do not support any organization that kills people. John 15:19 and 17:16. When Christians are persecuted, they do not respond with violence. Jesus taught that we should love even our enemies. Religion, too, has been behind the deaths of millions of people. When speaking of Babylon the Great, the world empire of false religion, the Bible says, "In her was found the blood of prophets and of holy ones and of all those who have been slaughtered on the earth." Can you understand why Jehovah commands us, "Get out of her, my people"? Those who worship Jehovah are no part of false religion. Revelation 18, 2, 4, and 24. Paragraph 23. Question. What is involved in getting out of Babylon the Great? To get out of Babylon the Great involves making it very clear that we are no longer part of any false religion. For example, we may need to make sure that our name has been removed from a religion's membership list. But more is involved. We also need to hate and reject the bad things false religion does. False religion allows and promotes immorality, politics, and greed. Psalm 97:10 reads, "O you who love Jehovah, hate what is bad. He is guarding the lives of his loyal ones. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked." Over the years, millions of lives have been lost as a result. Paragraphs 24 and 25. Question. How can knowing Jehovah bring us peace and a good conscience? Before coming to know Jehovah, each of us in some way supported the bad things that Satan's world does. But now we have changed. We have accepted the ransom and dedicated our lives to God. We experience seasons of refreshing from Jehovah Himself. We have peace and a good conscience, knowing that we are pleasing God. Acts 3:19. Even if we were once part of an organization that does not respect life, Jehovah can forgive us on the basis of the ransom. We truly appreciate Jehovah's gift of life. We show our appreciation by doing all we can to help others to learn about Jehovah, leave Satan's world, and enjoy a close friendship with God. Tell others about the kingdom. Paragraphs 26 to 28. Question A. What special work did Jehovah give Ezekiel? Question B. What does Jehovah ask us to do today? In ancient Israel, Jehovah told the prophet Ezekiel to warn people that Jerusalem would soon be destroyed and to teach them what they needed to do to survive. If Ezekiel did not warn the people, Jehovah would hold him responsible for their lives. Ezekiel showed that he valued life by doing all he could to share that important message. Jehovah has given us the assignment to warn people that Satan's world will soon be destroyed, and to help them come to know Jehovah and survive into the new world. We want to do all we can to share that message with others. We hope to say as Paul did, "I am clean from the blood of all men, for I have not held back from telling you all the counsel of God." Acts 20:26 and 27. There are other areas in life where we need to be clean. Let's examine some of these in the next chapter. Bible Principles. 1. Life is precious to Jehovah. With you is the source of life. Psalm 36:9. Why should we view life as a precious gift? Genesis 1:27, Psalm 19:7-11, and Proverbs 2:6-11. Jehovah created all living things, including humans. We are precious to Him, and He wants each person to have a happy and meaningful life. Romans 14:12 and Galatians 6:5. Jehovah didn't create us to be like robots. He gave us free will and the ability to make decisions that show how much we value life. 2. Blood is sacred to Jehovah. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. How does Jehovah view blood? Leviticus 17:10, Proverbs 13:16, Acts 15:20, and Romans 12:2. A situation may arise that requires us to make serious decisions about certain medical treatments involving blood, including whether or not we will accept blood fractions. Others should not make these decisions for us. Before such a situation arises, we should pray for guidance and do necessary research. Genesis 9:4, 5, and 9, Deuteronomy 12:16, and Acts 15:28 and 29. In the Bible, blood represents life. God's law on blood has never changed. It has stayed the same from the time of Noah to the time God gave Israel the Mosaic Law and down to Christian times. 3. We need to view life as Jehovah does. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. What are some ways that we show that we view life as precious? Exodus 21:22 and 23. Every human life is important to Jehovah. Abortion is wrong because to God, even an unborn baby is a living person. Psalm 103:8-14, Acts 3:19, and Ephesians 1:7. If a woman had an abortion in the past but is now repentant, Jehovah will forgive her. Psalm 11:5 and Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. We show we respect life by avoiding dangerous sports and risky or violent behavior. We are also careful to keep our home and vehicle safe. 4. Satan's world is blood guilty in Jehovah's eyes. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the holy ones. Revelation 17:6. Why is Satan's world blood guilty? Revelation 18:2, 4, 9, and 24. Millions have been killed in the name of religion, politics, and greed. Matthew 24:14, John 17:16, and Acts 20:26 and 27. Christians remain neutral and do not support any organization that is connected to war or murder. We help people gain life by sharing the kingdom message with them.